You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If the Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Rodgers will go conventional and he'll do it himself. Touchdown, Packers! Aaron Rodgers into the end zone.
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
Reach the eye.
Get those back.
So they tried to address the problem, but so far, like you said, nothing.
I guess the bright side is it happened early enough on, but there's time.
What are you talking about? We're going to talk about the pass rush. We can't talk about what's not there.
We don't start pushing it. Pocket back against the pass rush. We're going to.
Seats in the bowl at Lambeau will definitely outweigh demand for seats.
Good evening, Packers fans. Welcome to another episode of Cheesehead Radio. It's nice that we're still on the air during an active season, considering that I think last week we were supposed to lose. But look what happened. They won. Imagine that. Joining us as our special guest tonight is the one and only Jason Wilde from ESPN, ESPN Wisconsin, 540 ESPN, the Twitterverse. If you're a Packers fan, you know who Jason is. He'll be joining us in about a half hour. My name is John Rehor from PackersTalk.com. I'm joined by some of the finest in the Packers blogosphere as my co-hosts from Cheesehead TV and PackersTalk.com, C.D. Angeli, from Cheesehead TV and PackersTalk.com, Jersey Albaracco, and from Cheesehead TV, Jamie Snowden. Want to give a special shout-out to our sponsors, Mayfield Sports Marketing, who you can follow on Twitter at Mayfield Sport, and Waukesha Sports Guards, who you can follow on Twitter at Walk Sports. We've got a lot to talk about to get ready for the divisional playoff game against the Cardinals this Saturday. Let's do it.
Jersey Al and Jamie bring you this week's Packer News.
In a stiff rebuke to all the one-and-done naysayers, the Green Bay Packers emphatically romped over that team from Washington, and guess what? Still playing football this weekend in round two of the playoffs.
They are, but it didn't start out looking any different from what we had seen previously. The Packers' first four possessions resulted in three punts and a safety before McCarthy and Rodgers both seemingly flipped the switch and threw caution to win. The end result was a lot of fun to watch.
It was a lot of fun for the players, too, as the TV cameras captured some huge smiles on Aaron Rodgers' face, something that hasn't been seen much over the last few weeks. We also saw Rodgers and McCarthy hugging and interacting like old buddies on the sideline, leaving stories of their apparent discord behind in a heap.
But the big question is, was it all real? Is the Packers' offense really back, or does Washington's defense get the credit? Well, here comes a much better defense that will put that question to the test. Only a few weeks removed from a previous dismantling of the Packers offense, the Arizona defense will be looking to do the same on Saturday night.
And they'll be doing it with the Packers not having Devontae Adams, who's just starting to find himself again after a very disappointing season. That means Wisconsin favorite Jared Aberderis, who finally got some meaningful playing time last week, becomes a key factor in this week's game. And who knows? We might even see Jeff Janis get some chances.
One good thing is that the Packers' offensive line is in much better shape than the last Cardinals game, where multiple injuries led to the Cardinals' pass rush looking like the Broncos. The banged-up guys are feeling better, and there's a real hope that David Bakhtiari will be able to finally return as well.
And that was the latest Packers news. Next up is Gems from the Packers Twitterverse.
This week's Gems. From the Packers Twitterverse.
First, it was Ben Ben McAdoo. And then today, news broke that Brett Favre's former backup, Doug Peterson, landed the Eagles' head coaching job. To that, Ross Tucker tweeted, "I'd pay money to see Brett Favre as OC in Philly."
And once a Packer, always a Packer, and that certainly goes for Johnny Jolly, who often comments about the team on Twitter. Just yesterday, he tweeted out what he thought was a reason for optimism. "The bye week will hurt Arizona for this game." And then his signature, "It's a G thing."
Looking to help out the tired huddle masses of downtrodden NFL fans, Chris Visasco offered an olive branch. "I'd like to welcome any and all displaced Rams fans to join us in Packer fandom."
It would be the best thing they could do. And after the Vikings managed to lose to the Seahawks when Blair Walsh missed what would have been a game-winning chip shot field goal, our own Kyle Cugino tweeted, "I'd be lying if I said I feel bad for Vikings fans." And that was your Cheesehead Radio Tweet of the Week.
Tweets of the Week.
Does anyone actually play Angry Birds anymore?
Is that what that is?
Yes. Did you guys ever play Angry Birds? I guess not.
No.
I think I played it a lot. And
did you?
On my old phone, I have all of them. I have not played it in a while. And I was sick for, like, half of this year. There was plenty of time to play Angry Birds, and I did not.
I think it was very popular when I made Stings.
Well, it's still
it was.
Very popular, but
yes.
Not as popular. I think Candy Crush has taken over, but I don't think that's where this conversation needs to go.
Actually, I'm gonna make a comment about Candy Crush. You want a little rant? I'm going to say this. The new candy game, the Candy Crush...
The soda one?
Jelly.
Oh, okay.
That game sucks. That game, oh my God. If you...
And that was...
Are you even thinking of downloading it? If you're even thinking of downloading it, don't. Because honestly, you will take your phone and want to throw it on the ground.
Thank you for the advice. I will,
and that
I will
was
use
a
it, not download
public
it.
Service announcement from John Rayor.
No worries, I won't be thinking of that.
Yeah.
Cheesehead Radio brings you Make It or Break It.
Well, welcome back there, Packer fans. Seems like about a week ago we were sitting here in this studio with a little bit of gloom and doom and half-hearted, well, maybe they'll find some way to win the game predictions. Apparently, the three people that predicted the Packers to win were right, and the one person who picked them to lose was wrong. Holy cow, what a game. That was, it was a return. It was a return to greatness. It was a return to form. It was the same old Packers that we have loved and have missed.
But was it?
No negativity allowed, sir.
Oh, that was last week.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay, never mind.
Different theme for this week.
We won. We can be as negative as we want.
You can only do that no negativity for so long, you know. I
mean. No. Remember, it's not negative if it's honest. And one of the questions that was asked after the game, and I think it's a question that deserves some conversation, is, was it fool's gold that we saw? I mean, yes, for 2.5 quarters, it looked like the team that we were expecting it to be all year. But keep in mind, they were facing a Redskins defense, which was ranked 28th, if memory serves. So it could be one of two things. They got their swagger back against a poor defense, or they took advantage of a pretty poor defense, and reality is going to set in this week. I am tempted to believe it's going to be the latter for part of the game.
Okay.
You'll
Jersey Al, what do you think?
Well, I definitely think that reality is going to set in this week, but that doesn't mean that they're still not capable of winning the game. I see a really tight game. I really do. I'm throwing out the first time they played. That was one of those games where things just started snowballing and going wrong. They had three turnovers in a row lead to touchdowns. They didn't take advantage of their own turnover with that Daniels fumble recovery, and Rodgers throws an interception. And just four or five possessions in a row, everything went wrong. So Cardinals are a good team. The Packers did very little to make them work for the win in that game. They had an offensive line that at one point was playing with four backups. It was just a game that I'm willing to just throw out and say this time around it's going to be different. It's going to be a tight game, and I think that they have a chance to win.
I'm definitely willing to throw out the last game. I think I think that's a healthy way to take a that kind of beating. Is just, let's just, you know, say that didn't happen. And, you know, that's not going to be the standard for which we go by this game. And like all you said, things that you said, Al, especially having the offensive line even half healthier than they were, I mean, getting Rodgers any time, and he had none during the last game, will be a big improvement. And while Washington's defense was so lowly ranked, they really were, as a team, on a roll. I mentioned this last week, having a husband who's a fan of that team. I don't watch all of their games, but I'm very acutely aware of early on in the game, you can kind of tell with Washington's games if they're going to go well or not. Washington is a team, if they start off poorly, they generally stay there and tend to give my husband not a lot of hope. But the past couple of weeks, they really have been riding high. And so while the Packers' offense definitely was helped by the fact that the Washington defense wasn't as good, I think it was telling to be able to go into a stadium and a fan base that was hyped up for the first time since RG3, and truly hyped. That was kind of weird Trojan horse hype with RG3. To be able to go in and come back from the safety, I think says a lot about the new resiliency of this team.
Now, for those in our listening audience that don't know, Jamie is married to a pretty diehard Washington fan. How did that all turn out, Jamie? Was it okay?
Yes, we safely did not watch the game together. He went to his parents' house. It was actually our nephew's birthday party that evening. I stayed at home and ran the Chiefshead TV live blog and watched it at home. And with about 3 or 4 minutes left in the game, he texted me and said, "On my way home," and then just red angry face. I took the garbage out that evening. It was very cold and it had snowed earlier in the day, so I feel like I get bonus points for that. He came home, said hi, and went straight to bed. The next morning, he woke up and was like, "Okay, I'm over it. I'm rooting for the Packers for the rest of this postseason." So,
SB.
Yes. So pretty much we just avoided each other, and Swiss was no longer angry about it. Which I feel is an appropriate way to...
He's a Packer fan, though?
He's done much better. I don't ever root for, not ever, but I don't own any Washington gear for more reasons than one. But he owns Packers gear. Like, he will actively support them with me. I'm more of a diehard Packers fan than he is diehard Washington. Plus, it's just been hard to be a Washington fan this past couple of years. Because they haven't done well. So by mid-season every year, he's mostly at the point of, my season's over. Let's go watch your team because I'll be happier that way. So it works out well for me. If it was reversed, I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah, can you picture that, rooting for Washington?
Oh, no. I mean, when they play Dallas, that's easy because I'm like, I want Dallas to lose. But it's more like, yay, Tony Romo interception, as opposed to, yay, Washington defense.
Yeah, they're a team that really doesn't have much of an identity, you know. There isn't a lot of things that you can say about them that's representative of their team over the years.
Well, I think charging people $40 to watch a practice, that would be representative of their team.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything positive we can say. There's a lot.
Oh, you were looking for positive. Yeah.
I guess that's what I meant. Positive identity. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that,
Jane. Anytime.
Piling on the rest.
Not at all.
Sorry, Washington.
Well, switching topics a little bit, actually not too long ago, over on Instagram, we had a little thing about Andrew Corliss, tight end for the Green Bay Packers, a player Jersey Al, I remember, was very high on when he was drafted out of Penn State a few years ago, has stated that his season is over, effectively. What's up with this, guys?
You tell me. That's the first I'm hearing.
Good question.
It seems very cryptic.
I have it
cryptic.
In front of me. I have it in front of me right now.
Read it out there, Stack Girl.
It's wanting to be the first to thank all of my loyal fans who supported me this past year. You've all been a blessing to my life. My season has come to an end, not by choice, and I will continue to trust God's plan for my life. #Fly81. The picture is of him in a Packers jersey. but it does not mention injury. It does not actually mention Packers. It does not mention IR. There's really no clue as to what the move is. Was he just cut for some reason? Is he, I mean, he was limited in practice. Did they say, you're not going to be able to go, and we're not really using you, so we're putting you on IR because we need the space? I don't know.
Didn't he have a gun thing in the off season?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not one for the drama, but, you know, the fact that...
Jason.
Well, the fact that the Packers haven't announced this yet is what I think is really interesting. I mean, I know that they're infamous for, you know, waiting, you know, 10 years to announce the signing of Charles Woodson, which we're still waiting for. But if
someday
if
we'll
his
get
season's
him.
Really over, I mean, if his season's really over, what are they waiting for? Unless there's more to it. And, like, if you read the Instagram verbiage kind of a couple times, it's like, that's weird, the way it was phrased. Like, the whole thing is just odd. Like, it gives the impression, at least my impression, is that he was cut. That's my impression, but I could be totally wrong.
I think it's important to remember, too, about Andrew Corliss last summer losing a daughter.
Yeah.
And a lot of us questioned, even at the time, this was actually following his arrest for firing a gun in public. That was in Miami Beach. That was in July. End of July, then we had the death of his daughter, baby daughter. A lot of us were questioning at that time, is this guy's head in the right place? I mean, not that it was right or wrong. I mean, obviously, anyone who goes through this kind of thing is clearly going to be going through something. So I think it puts it all in perspective a little bit, where he has gone through the season. It's been a struggle of a season for him, struggling with injuries, some things over his head from last summer, and now we're here. And like I said, it's very cryptic. We're not hearing anything from the Packers organization, so you're kind of hoping they're all on the same page.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that they just need a roster spot. They want to add a wide receiver. I think they've got one on the practice squad, Ed Williams, right?
Yes.
That would be my guess, that they just feel like they need another wide receiver because, you know, having Janis as your only other option if one of the other guys goes down doesn't make you feel very good, does it?
No negativity, especially about...
It's not negative if you're being honest, John. I was just told that.
Who said that?
I don't know. Somebody just before.
Some crazy guy. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know I heard it.
No, is Perillo back? I haven't, seen.
Yeah.
He played a little
bit.
He
didn't practice. I think he was the only one that didn't practice, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or was he the only, I think he's the one. Or was he the one that had full practice?
I'm pulling up the injury for now. I tweeted it out to someone.
He was off by himself. He was like in a category by himself. Probably full participation, I'm going to guess.
Okay. I mean, if he's a go and you have Richard Rodgers, I mean, Corliss was playing so sparingly anyways. I mean, there's really no point in keep up somebody not going to play. So.
Well, maybe the Packers are going all in on their hurry-up offense. And, if you're playing a hurry-up offense, you may not need the tight end as much. You may want to have your four wide receiver sets and an up-back or something. So, maybe that's kind of a move to say, hey, this is the direction we're going. We need Richard Rodgers and Richard Rodgers, a tight end. That's about it.
Yeah, Perillo is full.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Finding out too. Oh, no, that's, I was going to say the same thing, so that's fine.
Yep. He is full participation. So I think that's the logical explanation. I can't see it having anything to do with the incident earlier this year. They're not going to wait until the playoffs to suspend somebody. No, that wouldn't be it. I don't see them just cutting Corliss unless some other incident happened that we haven't heard anything about yet. But I'm guessing they just need their roster spot.
Tom Silverstein just tweeted, source said Corliss wasn't cut or suspended. Looks like he may have been put on injured reserve due to injuries. So, okay, source. Unnamed source, but yeah.
Well, that was me. I just called him and told him, hey,
you're very good at
multitasking. Get this out there so I sound good on Cheesehead Radio.
Kind of maybe an injury of convenience. You're hurt,
course,
Andrew,
yeah.
And we need a wide receiver.
Of course.
Absolutely.
And I mean, I don't know his snap count, but I don't feel like since he came back from his injury, he's really played all that much or made that much of an impact. It would be, I feel like you said, it's convenient. we're not using him that much if he's not 100%. Let's get that space.
Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of which, so the Packers may be going with more wide receivers, yet they don't have that many wide receivers with Davante Adams likely out this week. What's your impression right now? Obviously, Jeff Janis is not, as much as people want to believe he's gold and Midas and everything else, he's really not been in there. But, you know, Jared Aberderis has gotten some more playing time, has not always made the plays. Is he going to be able to step up with Adams not probably not able to go?
I think step up is a relative term. I mean, I think you got to look last week that, you know, main target, he was definitely targeting Cobb, and they were using Cobb a lot more than they have been in the past. James Jones is James Jones, and everybody else was, I'd say, an afterthought, but, you know, kind of an afterthought. He can catch 3-4 passes. I'm good with that.
Have you been impressed, Jersey?
You know, impressed probably isn't the word. Maybe a little bit pleasantly surprised. I mean, we haven't seen a lot of them, but the little bit that I've seen, I think I've been a little pleasantly surprised is the best term I can come up with. I think he's a little bit better at getting off of press coverage than I thought. Certainly that two-point conversion, the shake move that he put on that defensive back that left him in the dust there, I mean, that was a total win for Aberderis there. But I like him after the catch, too. You know, I think he's a little shifty. He can kind of avoid players, and he's got that long body where he falls forward and gets extra yards. So I like what I've seen so far. You know, I think like John said, we're not going to expect great things from him this week, but he is going to be called on a few times, and the ball is going to be thrown to him if Adams is out. So I hope that, that he does step up to that point anyway.
And I think that's very high praise coming from you all, because I know that you, especially at the beginning of the season, you know, and last season, you weren't as high on him as a lot of people,
no.
And some of that was just our, you know, a lot of Wisconsinites' love for Wisconsinites. for you to say it, it's definitely a very objective look at it, and someone kind of coming out, it's, you know, like John liking something on Don Capers did.
I don't know if it's to that level, but
yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I like that he's been able to absorb some hits and come back. I think that also at the beginning of the season, that was a lot of the fear, you know, his injury last season, his concussion in training camp, the concussion issues prior, you know, reported or not. I think there was a hit earlier this season as well where he went down. He's kind of out for the rest of the game or out for a little while. But his ability to really get in there and kind of absorb those hits and bounce back and play after play, I think that has affected his play well as well. I don't like saying well that much. But, his ability to just stay in rhythm and not be kind of in and out as much, I think has helped.
Well, and to not have concussions every time he's hit, because it
yes.
seemed like that was kind of happening for a while.
Yeah, that's good for nobody. So.
Generally not. Well, you know, and as a Badger fan, I think there's just excitement, and I don't know how much you guys watch the Badgers when he was playing, but he just seemed to make big plays, and I don't know if he's athletic. I don't think he's incredibly fast. I don't think he's incredibly athletic. I think he's just one of those guys who gets out and can make plays. And I think that's exciting for this team, who has had some rather pedestrian receivers this year. If someone can get out there and get some yards after a catch and get downfield, more power to him. And if that's Aberderis, it's great. But do I have faith he's going to do it this week? I think he'll step up, but we might be a ways from him stepping in for Jordy Nelson at this point.
Yeah.
So let's finish up here.
Away.
Yeah. Let's ask this one here. This was the topic from Jason Wilde's show on Tuesday. And just so you know, we'll be bringing Jason on here in just a few minutes. But I want to leave this out as our topic to head into our guest segment with. But who's the pressure on this week? Do the Cardinals have the pressure clearly as the favorite, clearly as the team with the first week bye, bringing on a team that they crushed just a few weeks ago? Or do the Packers have the pressure? I mean, they've been behind the eight ball for weeks and weeks and weeks, and now it feels like they have everything to prove. Who has the pressure this week?
I feel like the Cardinals have the pressure. And I feel weird saying that, but I guess it's just because, I mean, you do. I think back to how I felt when we recorded our show last week. And I really was like, I thought the Packers could win in Washington, but I also was pretty, I felt, set myself up for the expectation the Packers would lose. But additionally, if you look at where the Cardinals were last year and how much promise their team had, and then just how stricken by injuries they were, that this is the season they were supposed to be able to come back healthy and keep it going. And they were able to do that. And they kept rolling. They were doing well. And then they kind of faltered in that last game, and they faltered in the last game of the season and went out flat. And so they had time to just sit and think about that, sit and remember the injuries from last season and how their high hopes were very quickly dashed. They don't want that to happen again. The Packers, and this is just the fans' approach, but I feel like we're left for dead 2 weeks ago. You know, 4 weeks ago, we're losing all those games in a row. So, to me, I feel like it's much more on Arizona.
John, how about you?
I think it's all on Arizona. I think the Packers are playing with the house money this week. I think if you were to poll every Packers fan on the planet, I think that the majority would say that they didn't expect them to win last week because of how they were playing. And they went out and they won convincingly. So now they have to face a team that, you know, yeah, they lost to them, you know, a couple weeks ago, but like everyone's saying, I'm throwing that game away. I don't think that that's going to be a fair representation of this team that they're going to face on Saturday. Knew I got Arizona, who, you know, they had a momentum going into that last game against Seattle, and they just sucked in that game. So I don't see any pressure on Green Bay at all. If they win, fantastic. And honestly, if they don't, I think being 1-1 in the playoffs is better than most would have expected them to be a couple weeks ago.
What about disappointment of losing next week and disappointment of what looked like such a promising year? You don't feel that that puts any pressure on the Packers this week, that they don't want to be the subject of, oh, look at those guys, they choked, they were going to win it all this year?
I mean, in my opinion, no, I don't.
Yeah,
I mean, you start out 6-0 and then you go 4-6 with a team that was clearly not playing up to their expectation levels. So the fact we kind of had a backdoor into the playoffs a little bit when we had a chance to win the division and we faced a team that nobody really expected them to beat, I think that the expectations, the high expectations that a lot of people had at the beginning of the season disappeared in that 10-game stretch. So I would not be disappointed if they lost this week, which they're not going to.
You wouldn't be disappointed if they lost.
I would not be. I know. Try not to fall off your chair. So, but no, I would not be disappointed.
I'm not saying it because it's you saying it. Just in general, you wouldn't be disappointed. So you really feel that they really don't have much of a chance. And if they win, fantastic. But if not,
I think they have a good chance. But I'm not going to lose my mind if they lose either. When you take a look at all the injuries that this team has faced this year, you can't have seasons like 2010 every time a season like 2010 happens, where you're just decimated with injuries, your team's not, you know, playing up to par, you got coaching upheavals in the middle of the season. I wouldn't be disappointed at all. And I'll tell you something else. You know who never disappoints? Is our guest.
Absolutely. Cheesehead Radio. Special guest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcoming back into the Cheesy Studio. A great guest that we've had here a couple times, and we're definitely blessed to have him back here on Cheesehead Radio, Jason J. Wilde. He of ESPN, he of ESPN Wisconsin, he of trying to figure out what's going on with Andrew Corliss. Jason, how are you doing tonight?
I'm still trying to figure out how I'm so honored to replace Bill Johnson.
Oh, gosh.
is he on with you guys like every week?
No.
Not quite. But he has been on a lot.
Okay. I saw that tweet and I thought I just thought I was maybe some sort of injury replacement. And you know, when it comes to Cheesehead Radio, it's next man up or next woman up, whatever it might be.
Exactly. All All right, Jason. Well, hey, thanks a lot for being here. Let's just start us out with this game coming up here. The Cardinals are giving lip service to the Packers, saying that they're not going to take them lightly after embarrassing the Packers just a few weeks ago. Are you buying this, or is there a chance that these rusty Cardinals might be looking past the Packers after a week off?
Well, I don't know if they're necessarily in a position to be looking past them. I mean, remember, they were playing that Seattle game to win, at least initially, before it became clear that the smarter play would be just to kind of raise the white flag. And so, you know, they came off a less than stellar final performance and then with a bye week. So, you know, the rusty part I get. I thought it was really interesting the gamesmanship that Rodgers decided to engage in, talking about this idea of the pressure all being on them. And he was more than happy to try and ratchet up that pressure a little more. I think that's interesting because the Packers have kind of, they've been there, you know, they've been the a first-round bye team. Now, they were also a first-round bye team last year, and, you know, with a little help from the Dez Bryant catch, non-catch, they were not a team that lost on the divisional round weekend. But, you know, I think we all remember 2011, and they did have some rust. They didn't play to win with most of their players. They still won.
Right.
But they didn't really play to win in that finale that year. And then, you know, their offense looked sluggish. I think it's going to be a close game. I don't know who's going to be motivated and who's going to have pressure and who's going to be looking past who. I think there are two good teams. I think Arizona is a better team, but that doesn't mean that they'll be the better team on Saturday night.
Good answer. I love it.
Hey, Jason, this is Al. Thanks for coming on with us.
Of course. Well, if I would answer your direct messages sooner, this would have been cleared up sooner.
That's okay. You have a job to do, so I respect that. That's fine. In fact, I'm surprised you're not, like, you don't have your other another phone in your other ear at this time trying to find out about Andrew Quarles. But,
well, I still can get text messages while I'm talking to you guys. We're good.
There you go. All right. So we'll try to move this along. Listen, on today's Green and Gold, you mentioned something really interesting, namely that 4 out of the 6 Packers playoff losses under McCarthy happened on the last play of the game. We had the Giants, the Cardinals, the Niners, and the Seahawks, which I'd never really thought about. Now, although we know we're not in the mood for drama here, Jason, I have to ask, is that just an uncanny coincidence, or does it say something about the ability to close out tight games under McCarthy's guidance?
Well, I asked him about that this week for that reason, and I have to give credit to Mike Spofford, who now, quite frankly, I don't really read Packers.com very often. I mean, except for Ask Vic, of course. but pause for effect. But he and I were talking in the locker room, and he was the one who actually said that to me. So he deserves the credit for recognizing that, because I hadn't really thought about it in those terms either, Al, until Mike mentioned it. But, you know, I asked Mike McCarthy about it because I thought that it was an interesting line to pursue. I haven't written anything. I guess I'm kind of holding out that the game will end on the game-winning play, and I can pull that out as my story on Saturday night. But McCarthy said that he called it a fundamental, and then immediately the WIAA came in and told him to stop saying that. But he said it's a fundamental. It's that, you know, that big plays and game-ending plays are, and obviously they won a game on a game-ending play with the Hail Mary. But those are something that he coaches, that he teaches, and that he believes is something that you can work on and practice, even though they're all different types of plays, obviously, game-winning field goals, touchdowns, et cetera, fumbles returned for touchdowns in the case of the Arizona game. So I don't know if I buy that, because if it is, then the results would tell you that he hasn't done a great job of coaching it, right? I think that that's kind of just, we can call it the clutch gene or whatever else, but, you know, they've got a kicker that was pretty clutch at the end of regulation in the NFC Championship game, and it's hit a lot of postseason field goals in a row. So if it comes down to the last play of the game and it's a field goal, I like the Packers' chances. But if it's going to be one of those games where it's decided that way, you know, you would hope if you're a Packers fan that it won't happen yet again, because 4 out of 6 playoff exits being in that fashion is pretty hard to believe, quite honestly.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, Jason, it's Jamie. Assuming that the trend continues, hi. assuming that the trends continue and the Packers do get both David Bakhtiari and Sam Shields back this Saturday, which one do you think will have a bigger impact on the game?
Well, that's, I mean, I think that's a little bit unfair. That's like asking me which one of my kids I like better. And Homer would say that those are easy calls. I'm not sure I agree with him. But, you know, because I think they're both really important. I mean, you know, I guess I would lean towards Shields a little bit just because of how good the Arizona offense and their passing game is, and the fact that while I like Quentin Rollins, I'm not sure that he's quite the equal of Sam Shields. Whereas the way J.C. Treader played on Sunday really impressed me, and you know, I don't know if I would go so far. I know there's some folks out there that suggested that maybe he should just be the left tackle. I'm not there yet by any means.
Yeah.
But I do feel, I guess I feel better about him. What's the, you guys know more about this stuff than I do. This what value over replacement or whatever the initials are there. Like I feel like the value over replacement for Sam Shields is slightly higher than it is right now over David Bakhtiari. You combine that with the fact that I think the Arizona passing game is better than the Arizona pass rush, and I would, I guess, give the nod to Sam, but it's not by a wide margin.
Okay, thanks.
All right, Jason. The Packers look like they hit rock bottom last week. I mean, they got that safety. Most people were threatening at least to turn off the TV, and they were done. And then it seemed like they just threw caution to the wind. They went to this hurry-up offense, and they did it basically the rest of the game and put Washington totally back on its heels. Is this magic? Is this the pixie dust that they've needed that's working and wakes everything up? And do you think it's going to work again on Saturday against a stronger opponent, a stronger defense?
Well, it was really weird at Rodgers' locker this week because, you know, there's always this huge crowd there and people jockey for position and most of them are in the electronic media. And we got like 7.5 minutes in and there was like this odd quiet for a second and everyone thought somebody else was going to jump in and then no one did and then it ended. And so the crowd kind of dispersed and I asked Rodgers about the WIAA thing. And then Domofsky came in because, you know, he's more important than I am. And he had to talk to him about something else. But I never got to ask him what I wanted to, which was on the throw caution to the wind deep balls that he threw. I thought it was really interesting that all the ones that he failed to complete, unless I'm misremembering, and I'll let you guys correct me, were overthrown. And
yeah.
I wondered if that was him trying to be like a little more like Brett Favre without letting go of being Aaron Rodgers. Because, you know, he was saying about how I need to take more chances. First of all, that was the most interesting thing that I read in Pete Doherty's piece. I know Pete tried to get to the bottom of their relationship, but, you know, they kind of gave answers or non-answers as they saw fit. But I thought it was interesting that Rodgers kind of reiterated and even doubled down on his statement from after the game against Minnesota where he said about, you know, throwing caution to the wind and taking more chances. I thought he did that, but he did it in a very Aaron Rodgers way of, all right, I'm going to throw some balls down the field, something that I've done very, very rarely without Jordy Nelson at the other end of them. But I'm going to do it in a way that if my guy can chase it down, great. And if he can't, then at least it'll be an incompletion and I won't be throwing, you know, the 50-50 balls that his predecessor threw in a couple of playoff games that were disappointing. And so, you know, I guess that qualifies as progress, and I think that that's a good thing because they haven't had a deep downfield threat trying, even though they're not being able to throw it to their favorite deep down the field threat. But, I think the fact that you ask that question is evidence that none of us are really sure if it's the start of something big or just sort of an anomaly
right.
And a feel-good story for a week. So, you know, I can, it's totally patently unfair, but I could better answer that question, you know, at 10:15 Central Time on Saturday night, because I'm not sure. I don't know if it's the start of them finally finding themselves and playing offense, at least in some resemblance to what we're accustomed to, or if it was just a one game, three quarters really, aberration, and they'll be back to being the kind of disappointing outfit they were for the final 10 weeks of the year.
All right, thanks.
All right, Jason. Over on the defensive side of the ball, I feel like rattling Carson Palmer is a key. He has a history in the past of throwing interceptions when he's under pressure. Now, the best possible scenario would be to get pressure on him rushing four guys, as the Seahawks did a couple of weeks ago. Can the Packers accomplish that without having a blitz?
Well, what do we think of Washington's offensive line and the pressure they generated with really four guys last Sunday? Because, they did blitz some, but I didn't calculating their final blitz numbers, but I thought they generated pretty darn good pressure without having to be blitz heavy. And, if they did that in part because they didn't have Sam Shields and then they lost Quentin Rollins at the half, I don't know. We also didn't have full assistant coach access this week, so I didn't get to ask Dom about that. But, if they can do that, with Daniels and Raji and then whatever combination of outside guys they use, and it looks like they're probably going to have Jayron Elliott back in their rotation as well. I like their chances, and certainly they're better off getting – I mean, that's a simple answer. I'm not breaking any new ground here. They're certainly better off getting pressure with four than having to take the risk of blitzing, especially when you consider how challenging this passing game can be. So I think that – I'm glad you bring that up, because I think that's going to be one of the keys to their success would be – to get after Carson Palmer. And I think that they have, you could tell, and I'm sure you saw some of the interviews or read some of them. You could tell that kind of have the mentality that you just mentioned, that, if we can get some pressure on him, we can get him to make some mistakes. And clearly they didn't get any pressure on him or nearly enough pressure on him in the first meeting. So if they can generate that, especially with their front four, I think that they've got an opportunity to do some good things.
Okay,
you're listening to Cheesehead Radio, and we're talking with Jason Wilde from ESPN.com, ESPN Wisconsin, 540. Jason, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I know it's kind of a busy night. Do you have time for one last question?
I have time for two last questions if you make them really good.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
God, that sounded terrible. Did that not sound like totally douchey and condescending?
I am very important, but maybe I can squeeze in two questions.
It was fine by me because I have my question ready, so that just meant the rest of them got to scramble and go, oh, do I have
this? Yeah, let them fight over the last question.
All right.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask. Last week, a lot of fans posted the meme showing the similarities between the 2010 Packers, who went on to win the Super Bowl, and this season's team. And, some people are like, oh, yeah, that's giving me hope. And some people are like, stop with these similarities. It's ridiculous. Do you see any of these similarities, especially after last week's win? Or is this just another internet meme to give fans hope of a long shot?
Yeah, the only meme that I saw was the one that had two pictures. And on the top it had Rodgers, and the bottom it had Aberderis. And on the top it said, what did Aaron do when he needed to get 2 points? And then at the bottom it said he went to Jared. So I didn't see the 2010 one. I didn't feel the way about the Packers that I felt in 2010 when this postseason started. They stumbled down the stretch. They did not have, during the final 10 weeks, a whole lot of real offensive production, whereas, in the 2010 playoff run, they had some good offensive performances in the second half. They also had that huge game at home against the Giants where they put up a ton of points. And even though they had a win in kind of a defensive battle in the finale against the Bears, they just went in with a swagger and a confidence, and they were that team, right? They were the team that you didn't want to have to face if you were the other teams in the NFC. And they did not feel that way going into Sunday's game. Now, I will say this, and I don't know if it's forced. I don't know how much Aaron Rodgers believes it, but he did say after they got their asses kicked in Arizona that he thought they could go back there and win. And I ended up using that and kind of used it as the jumping off point, saying, well, that's how they acted in 2010 when they left the Georgia Dome after losing to the Falcons. You would have never known they lost that game the way they carried themselves when they walked out the door. I don't think that they're they don't have the right to feel that way. Maybe they've kind of conjured up this idea and convinced themselves of it, which if that works, then bravo to them. But they don't feel like the 2010 team. That team faced different types of adversity. I would argue that of all the injuries that we spent so much time talking about that year, you know, Rodgers missing time with a concussion, yes, but other than JerMichael Finley, who did they lose that they really couldn't live without? You know, even Nick Barnett, who'd been a longtime starter, you know, that opened the door for Desmond Bishop, who really was just waiting to be a starter, right? Whereas this year, their offensive line has been hurt for so much of the year. I would even go so far as to argue that their injuries, because of Jordy Nelson and because of the offensive line, far exceed everything they went through in 2010. So, you know, if they can figure out a way to win this, and better yet, if they can figure out a way to win this and Seattle somehow beats Carolina, which wouldn't surprise me either, you guys know how I cheer for the story. That would be a hell of a story. The rematch between those two teams, both of which had some really down times during the season after their epic NFC Championship game meeting last January. If they ended up having a rematch at Lambeau Field, that is a dream scenario for this guy.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, Jason, I guess I get the last question, so I'll try.
Your Honor.
Yeah, here we go. As you know, a couple of years ago, I called you, you know, the sports journalist with the soul. So I like to think you and I have a lot in common. Now, not that I'm given to showing pity for the Minnesota Vikings, there was a tweet-pocalypse that fell upon Blair Walsh last week after he missed this field goal. And we kind of made fun of the Viking fans, how terrible and how horrible they are for doing this. And yet I'm reminded of Packer fans with Brandon Bostic last year.
Mm-hmm.
If either of these mistakes happen randomly sometime in the second quarter, no one cares. But because they happen at the end of a game, it's this ugliness. And I guess I'm just curious on your feelings and your reflections on fan anger and social media, how good fans can turn so ugly over and over and over again. And why does this keep happening?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I wish I had a better solution. First of all, it was really nice of you to say about me.
Absolutely.
You know, because I really have, you know, when I first kind of got involved with Twitter, and I think I signed up in 2009, I was a little bit ahead of the curve on the beat. I know there were a lot of people that were further ahead than I was in general, but you know, I really loved it. Like, and let's be honest, all of you guys, I consider you my friends in large part because of that medium. And it led to Cousineau and Wally putting together the Throwback Weekend. And I mean, it's been a great village for Packers fans. And, you know, Corey, and I mean, I would have never met Corey and Aaron Nagler and Cheesehead TV without it. And I think very highly of those guys. You know, there are so many good things about it, but you know that I'm going to say but. I was at the preseason opener in New England, and one of my good buddies in this business is Mike Reese. And we were talking about a bunch of things, about the Packers, talking to me about their replacing Vic job and about the ESPN opportunity that might be coming and all those kinds of things. And our conversation turned to Twitter. And if you guys have ever, you've seen Mike Reese on TV, if you've ever talked to him or run across him, he's just the most positive guy. And yet, when we started talking about Twitter, I hope I can do this imitation justice. He says, "Jason, it's so nasty. It's just nasty." And he's right. And you know, and I've really had a hard time with it, I would say, in the last 6 months to a year, probably dating back to the Bostic thing. And, you know, I've tried doing the blocking thing. I've done some muting. I know there are a few of you on this panel that think I've muted you, which is really the ideal. I want people to think I've muted them when I haven't really muted them. But it really is. Like, there's just a barbaric, callous, coarse conversation. It's not really a conversation either. And, you know, I went to Wisconsin. I love politics. Now I'm on the blue team, which is everybody to be on my team. But I would never go into politics because I would want to be a consensus builder and figure out ways we could find common ground. That's not what politics is about now. And I feel like sports on social media has allowed too much of that to seep in. And there's just a, there really is, to take Mike's word, there is too much of a nastiness there. And I take responsibility in that, that over the years, I probably have either given those folks too much attention, responded to them too frequently. You know, I have a couple of policies of, I don't think you should retweet people praising your work. I think that that's, you know, you should appreciate their praise, but, you know, you don't need to take a victory lap around Twitter. Okay, that's one, that's what I believe. That doesn't mean everyone has to do that. There's a lot of people that don't follow that. But I need to do a better job of thanking those people instead of getting pissed off at the people who are douchey. And it becomes increasingly hard because even the most innocuous of tweets can often lead to somebody just being an asshole. And are we able to say that on She Said Radio? Is that,
sure.
Did I speak up?
Sure.
You can censor that out.
For you, Jason.
Yeah,
sure.
You can beep that out. But that's my frustration. And I know there's a lot of really good people out there and a lot of people who love the Packers. And it's just, especially during games, you know, it's hard to win in the NFL. It's hard. You know, it's been such an interesting year in that the Fire Capers hashtag has really taken the year off for the most part. But you know what? If they go down 14-0, it'll be back on Saturday night. And so I always want to believe the best in people, and I know I'm talking to some of the best right here. But I need to do a better job of kind of blocking out the nastiness because there really is too much of it. And whether we're disagreeing about the Packers or politics or making a murderer, my advice would be when you're on social media, and Wes Hodkowitz will love this, my advice would be don't get strange.
Well, Jason, I want to thank you very much, so much. I know we kept you longer than we should have, but I
planned on that. No worries.
We call it bonus time.
Yes. Well, I don't know if it's a bonus for you guys, but I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, awesome. If you are not following Jason Wilde on Twitter, it's Jason J. Wilde, WILDE. And if you're not following him, why are you even listening to the show? He's awesome. Please make sure he's on your list. Make sure to listen to me. He's over at 540 out of Milwaukee, ESPN, ESPN Wisconsin. Jason, thank you so much for joining us once again.
All right, guys. Enjoy the game on Saturday night, and I know you'll have Bill Johnson back next week, so you won't have to plumb in with any of us.
All right.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks,
good
Jason.
Night.
All right, take care. Be
night.
Good.
Yeah, take care. You know what he's referring to with the Bill Johnson jokes?
No.
Yeah, I figured that because when I first asked him, I said, hey, you know, we hadn't asked him in a long time, you know. And I probably last time I asked him was about 2 years ago, and the answer was, you know, I've got dad duty at night. It's just tough. You know, I'm like, hey, there's no way I'm going to argue with that and whatnot. So 2 years go by. I figure, you know, maybe it's time to ask him again. So I said, what can I say to, you know, to kind of spur him on a little bit? So that's when I threw Bill Johnson in, you know, I said, well, you know, we've had your partner on so many times, we'd love to get you on too. And I guess based on his comments, it had the right effect. So,
a little competition never hurts.
That's the story, anyway. Why he's bringing up Bill Johnson.
Works for me.
I just assumed he was an avid listener to our show and realized that Bill Johnson was on a lot. Is that not what you...
Unfortunately, that's not it. No. No.
Well, should we get to this week's game predictions?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Do that.
Cheesehead Radio, Packer Game Predictions.
Well, we didn't think we were going to be here, but we are. The Green Bay Packers are going to travel to Arizona. They're taking on the Arizona Cardinals, who spanked the Packers just a few weeks ago. Cardinals are coming off a week bye, and... as far as I'm concerned, it's up in the air. I mean, there's people who can be very confident. You cannot be confident. Cardinals seem confident. Packers seem to have their swagger. How do you see this game turning out? Let us start, first of all, with the amazing Jersey Al Bracco.
I have got the Packers pulling out a 22-20 win. I think that one big key will be the offensive line being much more healthier and giving Rodgers more time to throw. But I do think that a lot of this game falls on Mike McCarthy and coming up with a game plan, you know, that'll be different than what they tried last time and what they've done all year that hasn't worked. Actually going to put together a little article for Chiefshead TV about this, so look for that tomorrow. But I think it falls on the shoulders of Mike McCarthy.
All right. A Packers win, and Jersey Isle places faith in Mike McCarthy because he's predicting a win. Let's turn now to Miss Jamie Snowden.
Well, the last 2 weeks I went with Packers 21, their opponent 18, just because everything just felt so up in the air. So I pondered going with that again today. But I see the Packers scoring a little bit more points than that this time. So I'm going with Packers 24 and Cardinals 21. And I actually felt kind of weird putting 21 there because I feel like the defense, especially if Sam Shields is back, will be – it's just so strong right now that 21 seems a lot. But after 38 points the last time, it's hard. But so, yes, I'm going to say Packers win because that's what I do. Packers 24, Cardinals 21.
All right, Jamie says, hashtag rehire capers. We now head over to our lone wolf, John Rahor. What do you think is going to happen?
I am not going to be resurrecting the fire capers hashtag this week, although I think at one point during the game I might type it without actually sending it.
Okay.
And I think the Packers are going to pull this one out. I think there's going to be more than a few points scored by both teams, though. I think it's going to be Packers 33, Cardinals 31.
Might want to take the under on that one. I don't know. We'll have to see. So, John, Jamie, Jersey, all say Packers win. My name is CeeDee Angeli, and I'm going to say Packers 24, Arizona Cardinals 30.
All right. You take the Cardinals. And that's a good thing. This is a good thing.
Yes. I just don't think I don't understand how the Packers are going to be able to keep that hurry-up offense working. I think it worked against a weak defense and a team that is inexperienced and was caught flat-footed. Arizona is now has a week to study it. I think they're going to be prepared for it. I think they have the personnel to do it. However, once again, I'm merely doing this so that the Packers win in spite of me as they did last week.
And we appreciate it.
Yes.
I will take the 0-4 prediction postseason for the Packers. Pick against them every week, and as long as they keep winning, they'll actually play four games in the playoffs, and I'm okay with that. Definitely okay with that.
We are as well.
Yes. All right. Oops.
Well, thank you all so much for joining us tonight on Chiefshead Radio, and a special thanks to Jason Wilde for being part of our show. Head on over to PackersTalk.com to get all the podcasts, and be sure to follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter, and like the Packers Talk Network page on Facebook. All of the Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes. Just Google Packers Talk iTunes. Be sure to subscribe and please leave us a review if you can. You can also listen in by using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcasting app and search for Packers Talk. Finally, please be sure to support our wonderful sponsors, Mayfield Sports Marketing at Mayfield Sports and Waukesha Sports Park at Walk Sports on Twitter. They're both really great to us, so send them some love.
Well, should we do this again next week, guys? Celebrate another win, another playoff game.
Yep.
What do the Packers play if we win?
I'm hoping Seattle. Take a trip to Green Bay.
All right. Well, we'll see y'all there, and we'll see y'all next week on Chiefshead Radio. Until then, good night. Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.
Go Pack.
Go Pack, go.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.